earthly fathers. How many of you still have your earthly fathers alive? Can I see something alive? Bingo. I'm so happy because the fact that my earthly father passed away over 48 years ago. So I in my mind, the earthly father image is not that clear because I was pretty young when he passed away. So my image of my earthly father is actually my heavenly father. And to be honest, today we're going to talk about one of the major character of our heavenly father. And you know, we all love our heavenly father being merciful, being love, being kindness, okay? But today we're going to talk about the most unpopular character of our heavenly father, okay? And which is patience. And don't worry, I'm only preaching about 30 minutes of this sermon, so be patient with me, okay? All right? And you know how long does it take for the Raptors to actually win the NBA title? You know how long does it take? How many years? 25. Thank you, he's off by 1 year. 25 years of the Raptors before it reached its NBA champion. And do you know how long do I take to finish selling my house, you know, from the time that I put it for sale until the time that it was closing? Do you know how long it take? Do you know how long it take? It took me close to 5 months. And that's patience. And I'm really learning patience today. So we're going to talk about patience. And before we get into our scripture today, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, okay? Before I get into that, I'm going to ask you a very important question. That is our theme topic today, is actually, are you a patient person? Or maybe I should ask your wife. Or maybe I should ask your husband. Or perhaps I should ask your parents. Or should I ask your children about yourself? Are you a patient person? Now you don't need to raise your hand. Think about it. And that's our topic today. Are you a patient person? Now it's a very significant question. Now before we actually get into this question, let's have a little test, okay? It's a little test, okay? How do you deal with interruption? How do you deal with interruption? Let's say you're busy doing something and it was supposed to be the project's supposed to be due tomorrow, okay? And suddenly there's something NBA champion parade or someone who interrupts you. How are you going to react? How are you going to react? That's interruption. Or secondly, how do you deal with irritation? Anything bug you? Long line up. As I came to Mississauga, I was driving so smoothly on this side of the highway, and I saw a major long lineup at the airport, and people are frustrating. I cannot imagine their face while they are actually heading to the airport. Thank God I am on the other side of the highway. It took me 35 minutes from Markham all the way to Toronto, but it also took them 35 minutes from Mississauga to reach Toronto. Why? Because it was a long lineup. Irritation. Anything bug you? Mother-in-law? Mosquito bites? Anything actually bother you? How do you react to that? Or let's go a little further. How do you react to inconveniences? We want everything fast. And we go to the grocery store, we have fast food, okay? We go to the bank, we have the automated teller machine, right? We go home, we have the microwave. We have the instant oatmeal. We have the, everything is instant, all right? You want fast, and you want it now. You want it now. You don't want to wait, am I correct? Okay? When I was in the 20s, Within 3 months, I got 3 major speeding tickets. Can you imagine? So today's sermon, I'm an extremely impatient person. I cannot even stand a car within 3 space in front of me. Immediately, I'm going to change lane and pass them. That's another reason I got my speeding tickets. All right? I'm glad that after I'm being a parent, I'm a father myself, father's day, and I stopped doing that. I drive very carefully on the highway. But still, I consider myself a very impatient person. So today's sermon is not talking to you mainly. It's actually talking to myself. All right? Okay? So we're talking about, now, let's go a little bit further. How do you deal with something that is absolutely, absolutely incomparable? Something that you cannot do about it. Or something that actually, you know what? In a way, that there's a situation in your family, a situation in your business, a situation in your working area, okay? A situation in your health that is absolutely nothing you can do about it. Now, on Friday, my cardiologist said that there's a major prolapse in my mitral valve that causing so-called that regurgitation of blood, and you require surgery. And I said to my cardiologist, I have no symptom. And he said, wait till the symptom come, then we're going to have an open heart surgery. Again, nothing I can do about it. How do you deal with that? And that surgery could be scheduled by the end of this year. How am I going to do that? I mean, how are you going to react to something that is totally out of your hand? Now, let's actually go a little further and tighten your focus a little longer, okay? The fact that it's more than your capabilities is something you don't understand. It's beyond your comprehension, okay? Something you really don't understand. How are you going to react to those things you don't even understand? You run it through your own little formulas, you run it through your own little textbook, you run it through your own computer, and it just doesn't make sense. How are you going to react to that? Okay, you said, Brother Philip, I didn't do well on your checklist. Yes, it's not just yourself. I myself, okay, didn't do well in that checklist. So today we're going to focus on patience. And you know what? If you don't learn this, listen to it carefully. If you don't learn this, okay, you will never be able to learn anything in this world. And that is the word patience. Because without patience, you're going to, for sure, you will fail in anything you do. Without patience, you'll fail anything you do. But if you don't quit, you'll never fail. But if you quit, you're always a failure. If you quit, you're always a failure. Okay? Think about it. Now, I was a very quick sprinter when I was in high school. I almost came to my championship runner in my high school 100 meter dash. Okay? And I give you an illustration. I was actually at my 90 meter. It was my 90 meters. And all my classmates was right behind me. Okay? I was actually almost like 5 meters ahead of them. It's only 10 meters in front of the finish line. But I have a muscle cramp right at the 90 meter level. Okay? And I knelt down and I quit right there. And within seconds, all my classmates ran right in front of me. Okay? I used to be the champion, but right now, 30 of my classmates ran in front of me. And I failed. And the same thing, you'll never, never fail unless you quit. So I'm going to tell you right now. Do you know how many times that Abraham Lincoln failed in his election? You know how many times? The 16th president of the United States. How many times he failed? He failed actually 6 times. Okay? He failed in his senator election. He failed also in his state election 6 times. And also in his business, he failed 2 times. So it's altogether 8 times. And he went into a nervous breakdown A nervous breakdown. How many of you ever got into a nervous breakdown? Ever? But did you quit? You didn't quit, right? You keep on going. Now that's what Abraham Lincoln did. And he kept on going. Do you know how many times that Thomas Edison failed in his test in inventing the light bulbs? You know the light bulbs that we have? You know how many times he failed? Do you know how many times he failed? Hey? Way more! Okay, I'm telling you, the news reporter asked him how many times you failed, and he said, 1,001 times. 1,001, that's more. And you know what he said? He did not consider that as being failure. You know what he said? He said, it took me 1,001 steps to reach the invention of the light bulbs. So that was not my failure, that was my steps. He took 1,001 steps before he reached his success inventing those light bulbs, okay? So I'm telling you right now, you got to learn about patience, okay? And why do we have all these inconveniences and all these incomprehensible things or tribulation or all these irritation in our life? Why? How come? How come so much inconvenience? Why? Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says, tribulation works patience. Because all these inconvenience, it will actually give you patience. And God allow all these inconvenience to you, and not just to reveal impatience, but it's allowing patience to grow in your life. Now that's important, okay? And we're gonna discuss about three major things, okay? And number one is, what is patience? What is patience? The second thing we're gonna learn today is, what does patience do to you? What does patience do to you? And the last but not the least is, how to have patience, okay? Now let's focus on the very first topic. What is patience? All right, what is patience? Now, one of the theological professor in the Wheaton College, and he said that we are not able to use one single word to describe patience. There's no such thing that English word can describe patience. And he said it's not merely to actually endure a tedious task or maybe threading a needle's eye. No, it's not the ability to actually endure a tedious task. And that is an Oxford dictionary, the ability to endure a tedious task. But that is not what we're talking about today. And it's not even the ability to endure irritable people or irritation. No, that is patience, but it's way more than that. Patience is actually, okay, listen to this carefully. Patience, okay, it's not the patience that you sit down there and bow down and wait till the storm pass. It's not the patience that passively waiting so that everything will be gone. It's not that patience. But it's the spirit that you anticipate and look forward with a hope of radiance power, with a hope that will actually come. So he defined patience is to actually walk, okay? To actually wait in Jesus' place and walk in Jesus' pace without any anxiety. Now let me repeat what I'm saying, okay? He described patience is to wait in Jesus' place and to walk in Jesus' pace without anxiety. Without anxiety. Now that is patience. It is not just you hold your fist and you're grinding your teeth and all that and keep waiting. No. You're actually waiting and you know that there's something happened. So by the end of the days, you give praise to the Lord, whatever the outcome is, with patience. You give praise to the Lord, whatever the outcome is. So now, we're going to go a little further and say how patience can work in your life, okay? Now, think about the kind of life that you're facing, okay? Would you like the glory, the beauty, the fruits and flowers grow in your life to be a full-grown Christian. And do you want people to see Jesus Christ? How many of you actually want people to see Jesus Christ in your life? Can I see some hand? Praise God. Now, that is the very first thing. Every patient person, okay, will actually develop the image of Jesus in the life. The very first thing, about having patience is to produce, this. Let's read this word together. One, two, three. Because you know that the testing of faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. Now the King James Version says perseverance, or you may be perfect. The word perfect means mature, to be mature. So the main reason, the number one thing patience can do to your life is maturity. Maturity. We all want full-grown character of Christians, okay, character in your life. And according to the Bible tells us that he wants to bring the fullness of Christ's image in your life. The fullness of Christ's image in your life. Now, remember, without patience, okay, without patience, you'll never mature, okay? But without trial, without tribulation, without inconvenience, okay, you'll never get patience. You never get patience. So if you today, from today on, if you pray the fact that you want patience in your life, you know what happened in your life? You're going to have a lot of testing, okay? You're going to have a lot of tests. So be careful if you pray for patience. Your life won't be easy anymore. If you ask God, God, may I have patience in my life? I'm going to guarantee you, okay, I will guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of testing in your life, all right? How many of you would like to pray for patience? How many of you? Probably not many. Am I correct? Because you don't want too much, what, testing. Am I correct? But unfortunately, that's what Christianity is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. You've got to learn about maturity. And the next thing we want to think about here is, let's read it together, okay? One, two, three. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives you generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, the second thing I want you to understand, in maturity, when God gives you the test, and most of us will say, God, can you take this away from me? Don't ask God to take away all your testing. No, don't. You should ask God to give you wisdom. Why? Because if God take away this test, do you think that God will keep on giving the test to you? Yes, for sure. God will keep on giving the same test to you until you pass that test. He's not going to flunk you, okay? He's not going to flunk you. He will re-enroll you into the school of testing. He will keep on giving you the test until you pass it. So the only way to go through that test is ask wisdom. Okay? In order to be mature in your life, okay, you have to ask for wisdom. Without wisdom, there's no way you can pass this test. So God is giving you generous to all without finding fault. So number one, in order to be mature, you must have the wisdom to pass any of your tests, including life tribulation. All right? Now the next one, what patience can give it to you, okay? I'm going to ask you to read it for me, okay? Let's read it together. One, two, three. Blessed is the one who perseveres, exercise patience, under trial, because having good tests, the patient will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life. Now, remember, this crown of life is not what we are talking about when we die and we reach the heaven and we will receive the crown of life. No. That is not what we're talking about. In Romans, we're talking about we all reign and rule in this world. We are actually ruling in this life. And according to, so we are talking about patience not only give you maturity, the second thing that patience can give you is victory. 2 Corinthians, I want you to read it with me together. 1, 2, 3. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Now, remember, God always leads you to a victorious life. Now remember, you and I are adults, but kids are very impatient. Do you think kids are patient person? No. But for those who have kids, you understand that kids can never distinguish between no and not yet. They don't know the difference between no and not yet. When you say wait a while, they will take that as a no. Am I correct or not? Kids are like that. They're the victim of our life. Okay? And you know what? There's a Danish proverb said, if a pig grunts, you give a pig when it grunts, okay, you get a fine pig. But if you give a baby, a kid, okay, when it cries, you get a bad child. Why? Because a child will never grow up because their lack of patience. And I don't want you to be a spiritual child. I want you to grow up as a mature, full-grown Christians by winning every test that we have. Now, in terms of winning the test, it's the same idea when we're fighting a battle, okay? Every single day is a battle against Satan, okay? And when Satan comes to you, with a test, okay? What is the best secret of winning Satan, I'm telling you. Now, let's say the test is from God. You're going to praise Him anyway, okay? All right? But if Satan come to you with a test, the best secret is to praise God. Remember. Now, let me repeat, okay? When patient comes to you and with a test, okay, with the tribulation, with some kind of thing, the best response to that is to praise God. Praise God. Do you know why? Because whenever you praise God, okay, it will bring glory to Him, not to bring glory to Satan. And Satan will scratch his head. Wait a minute. I'm trying to persecute this guy so that he will curse God. He will get away from God. But this time, he praised God. So it kind of backfired to Satan. It blows up in the face of Satan. So Satan said, well, I'm going to stop persecuting him. Because the fact that you're praising God. So how, let's see, how many of you actually ever praise God when you're being in a very inconvenient, in a very persecuted, in a very uncomfortable, in your own trouble? When you're in trouble, how many of you actually, now let me see, have the experience of praising God? Can I see some hand here that you actually praise God? Okay, we have one, Pastor Daniel. How many of you? Okay, except Pastor Daniel. And I'm going to advise you to be mature. To be a mature Christian, to be a patient person, okay? When you experience any adversity, any trouble, any tribulation, any persecution, okay? The first thing to do, in order to scare Satan, the first thing to do, praise God. Promise me? Promise me? The first thing, praise God. Can you promise? Praise God. I love everyone who's nodding their hand. I'm very happy for that. Praise God for that, okay? Now, Proverbs 25:21. Okay? Let's read it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without patience. Now, this is compared to an impatient person. No. Impatient. I just moved into a new house, okay? And yesterday, my renovators, okay? Someone came in to renovate my house. And he opened up the front door and opened up the back door. So I noticed that a lot of strangers want to come to my house because the door was open, okay? And I'm telling you, an impatient Christian, okay? An impatient Christian is like a city broken down without walls. That really means that your house, your front door and your back door are open. In that case, The vandals, your enemy, can come in and grab whatever they want. And you know, I know a lot, plenty of friends of mine, and the business, the spiritual life, the finance, the physical health is in shambles. Why are they in shambles? Because they have no control over their own spirit. They have no control. An impatient person has no control over their spirit. They cannot control. So the business, the physical health, the family, the wife, the husband, the kids are all in shambles, upside down, because the fact that they have no control over the spirit. So I'm telling you right now, okay, I'm telling you right now, in order to be a patient person, you gotta have exercise patience over your own spirit. The third thing that patience can do in your life, okay, the third thing, let's read it together, okay, 1, 2, 3. Let patience finish its work so that you may lack nothing. Okay. Now, listen to me carefully. If you are patient, you are the wealthiest person in the world, because you're going to lack nothing. All your needs will be met. And you come to a complete sufficiency in your life. If you are a patient person, you will lack nothing. That is prosperity. So it's not only giving you maturity, it's not only give you victory over testing, but it's also give you prosperity. Now I'm going to give you an illustration. You know that, and that's in James chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to ask you to read it along with me. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, be patient, brother, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmers wait for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Now, James illustrate patience like a farmer. Now, if you're planting any seed, now remember, you have no control about the weather, am I correct? And you have no control about whether the crop will grow. You have no control. So you have to exercise extra dose of patience when things are out of your control. Keep that in mind, okay? When things are out of, exercise extra dose of patience. Now think about the tiny little wheat, okay? It will go down to the soil, okay? And it sprouts, and suddenly it breaks through the soil and grow. So you reap what you sow, you will actually reap more than usual, but you reap later than usual. The number one key word here is to wait. Now, the word wait in the Greek terminology is called ekdakomai. That is the Greek word ekdakomai. Ekdakomai means to look forward with anticipation without anxiety. To look forward, okay, with anticipation without anxiety. You guys have to learn about this patient. That is to wait. The word waiting is to look forward. You probably look forward to have a good meal today, to celebrate your Father's Day. But for sure, you're going to have long lineup in the restaurant, right? But I want you to sit down when you're waiting for the long lineup without any anxiety, okay? Because you look forward for the food, all right? We all look forward. So the word wait is looking forward. Now that is ekdakomai means. Now, what about the next one that we require extra dose of patience? Okay? Brother and sister, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets. Take the prophets in the name of the Lord. The second thing about exercise is not that we have no control over things, like weather and all that, but sometimes we have no control over people. By the way, do you know how many years that Isaiah preached the word of God in Israel? You know how many years he did it? How many years? Now let me give you three choices, okay? 20 years, 40 years, 60 years. How many do you think is 20 years? Eh? 20 years? How many say 40 years? How many say 60 years? Praise the Lord! 60 years!
By the way, did the Israelites listen to him? Did they actually listen to him? They are dozed off. They don't listen to him. They didn't listen to him for 60 years, six decades of preaching that require patience. That require patience. I'm telling you, in the 18th and the 19th centuries, there's one evangelical church in India. And the name of that church is called Lone Star. Lone Star, okay? And the Board of Mission require the Lone Star to preach the Word of God. And after 15 years, this Lone Star, okay, church in India, the Lone Star, after 15 years, do you know how many converts they have after 15 years? Do you know how many new Christians they have? They were baptized, do you know how many? After 15 years, do you know how many? Maureen, how many? Hey, just give me a number. Million? No. After 15 years, only 10 people get baptized. Only 10 converts. Not even one per year. Okay? So the mission board decided to close it down altogether. They said it's a total failure. They're going to back out. And they sent a letter to one of the board members. His name is Samuel Smith. Now listen to Samuel Smith. And Samuel Smith was so sad and grieved, and he wrote a poem and sent it back to the board. He said that, Shine on, Lone Star of India. This, you have the grief and the tears of the founding fathers in tears and in fears. Okay? Despite 10 converts baptized, the Lone Star of India should not be despised. He wrote it down. And shine on. And you know, a board of director inside the mission board, you know what they did? They said, I'll let the Lone Star shine on. Okay? 1862, after 30 years of this Lone Star of India shine on. You know how many people baptized in that church? You know how many people? After 30 years. 15,000 members joined that church after 30 years. Patience in preaching the Word of God. It took me 28 years of actually ministering to my brother-in-law. Okay? We married for almost 31 years now. And the third year, I and my wife decided to pray for my brother-in-law. In the first 5 years, he didn't listen. 10 years, he didn't listen. 15 years, he didn't listen. 20 years, he still remained a non-Christian. After 28 years, praise the Lord, last year, he invited me to Tim Horton and said, Brother Philip, he called me Brother Philip, I want to believe in Christ as personal Savior. Took me 28 years. And if any one of you have that patience like this prophet, 60 years, I'm guarantee you, it will pay off at the end. All right, you gotta. And this word, by the way, patience, in the original term, okay, it's the original term. It's hyperthermia. Hyper means long wait, long heated. You are underheated for a long time. Hyper means long. Thermia means heat. You are under a heated situation. That is what this word patience is. Now, what about the next word that I want you to exercise extra dose of patience? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered, exercise patience. You've heard Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Okay? Now, when things are out of control, when people are out of control, here, when your pain is out of control. It's not reasonable. Okay? How many of you undergo a lot of pain consistently? A lot of pain in your body? Can I see some hand? You have a lot of pain? Praise God, you don't have much pain in your body, right? I went to a nursing home a couple of weeks ago and preached the same sermon, okay? You know how many people actually raised their hand? 100%. Everybody's raising their hand. I'm telling you, sooner or later, you're going to suffer pain. Sooner or later. Job, you know how much pain he suffered? Just one day, okay? He lost 10 children. One day, he lost 10 children. Just one day, he lost all his possessions, all his properties. Just one day, from top to bottom, from head to toe, he suffered major skin lesion, boils on the skin. Okay? So he lost his health, he lost his wealth, and he's also lost his properties, all his. But you know what Job did? He said, the Lord gave and the Lord took it away. And the name of the Lord is to what? To be praised. The Lord is to be praised. And according to Job, he said, there is not a single word of grudges or complaining to our Lord. Not a single word of curse to the Lord. And I want you to learn that. Okay? So number one, to be patient with things, weather, all that. Number two, to be patient with people. Number three, I'm telling you, you have to exercise extra dose of patience to God. You have to be patient to God. You know what happened at the end to Job? You know what happened to him at the end? He regained everything. So patient with things, patient with people, patient with God. Despite the pain, is intolerable. Okay? Sometime in the future, you're going to suffer from pain. I'm telling you, in the future. Okay? Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, and the actual term in the King James Version is long-suffering. Long-suffering means patience. Suffer long. Okay? And you're going to ask me, how are you going to have patience in your life? And as I study Galatians chapter 5, I discover the sequence here. Okay? In order to have patience, you're going to first have love, and then have joy and peace. Why? Okay? Now remember, the one who is impatient will never exercise love. They don't have love. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, forbear each other with love and long suffering. Now let me repeat. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, forbear each other with love and long suffering. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay, chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it said, love is long-suffering, suffer long, patience. Love is patience. You gotta love. Now, let me give you a secret of success in your relationship, okay? In order to be successful husband, okay, to be a successful husband, you have to learn, okay, to take the point of view of your wife. Now, if you're a husband, think about it. You have to take the point of view of your wife. To be a successful father, you have to take the point of view of your children. To be a successful pastor, you have to take the point of view of your congregation. To be a successful business person, you have to take the point of view of your customer. To take the point of view of other people, that's love and require patience. Okay? The impatient people, there's no love in the mind. Okay, there's no love to the impatient. Okay, think about it. Now, second one thing is joy. Okay, joy. An impatient person is the unhappiest person. They are the most unhappy person in the world. They're the nasty person in the world. Okay, from today on, I want you to learn about laughing in your persecution, to laugh at your trouble. If you learn to laugh at your trouble, you will never run out of things to laugh at. Let me repeat. If you learn to laugh at your trouble, you will never run out of things to laugh at. Do you know why? Because everything there will be trouble, and you're going to laugh at, okay? A friend of mine owned a very beautiful lawn, okay, in the backyard, right beside us, okay? He usually actually trimmed the lawn for us. And he told me that he had a couple of... How many of you have the dandelion in your lawn? How many? Yeah. And he said to me he hates those dandelions. So he went to the garden store and learned how to kill all these dandelions, but he failed. Okay, he tried this and tried that, he failed. So he wrote a letter to the Ministry of Agriculture. Okay? And the Ministry of Agriculture asked him for an email. You know what they email him? You know what they email him? Learn to get used to it. Laugh about your nettles. Laugh. Just laugh. Take it easy. Everyone have dandelions in the lawn. So when it comes to things that you cannot change, there are many things cannot change, just to be joyful and laugh about that. You said, Brother Philip, you're being frivolous, right? No! God wants us to laugh too. God is not a cosmic cute joy. God doesn't want us to be grinding our hands and sit there and do it and actually be sad about it. So laugh about your tribulation, okay? And the last, but not the least, is to be peaceful. The word peace means that you turn your eyes on Jesus rather than on your problem. Now let me repeat, okay? Peace is to turn your eyes on Jesus rather than your problem. That is to create peace in your mind. When that you have peace, then you can actually fold your arms and enjoy and be patient. Okay? Love, joy, peace. That is how you generate your patience. The next one we're going to talk about here is how do you have patience? And this is very important. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So there is no such thing as a patience factory, but there is a patient orchard. It requires real life to enjoy patience. Okay? You got to live in the Lord Jesus, in the word of the Lord Jesus. Now in Galatians chapter 5, you realize that you have to walk in the Spirit in order to bear fruit. You don't produce fruit. You bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. Okay? What is patience? Now let me conclude. Is the Spirit to wait in Jesus' place and go on Jesus' pace without anxiety? And what does patience do? Maturity, victory, as well as prosperity. How do I have patience? Love, joy, peace. You're going to abide in Jesus. That is the weather that you should have. Okay? I'm going to sing the last song for you before we finish today's sermon. And this is a very good song. How many of you actually know this song? Can I have see some hand? While I'm waiting, how many of you? It's a very easy song. If you know how to sing along with me, okay? 1, 2, 3. I am waiting, I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I am hopeful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it is painful, but patiently I will wait. I will move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm waiting, I will not faint. I'll be running the race, even while I wait. Let's bow our head and pray. Eyes are closed, heads are down. We are praying to the most patient Lord. You treat 1,000 years as 1 year, and 1 year as 1,000 years. In you, timing, it's way more than important than time. In you, you're way more patient than anybody in this world. You're our Heavenly Father. We learn about patience that can bring us maturity. Patience can bring us victory. And patience can bring us prosperity. May you help us to have love, joy, peace, to actually generate patience in our life. We abide in Jesus Christ. While we are waiting, we want to serve you. While we are waiting, We want to worship you while we are waiting. Today, give us this ability to be mature, to overcome all circumstances, and also to be prosper in all our situation. May you help MCLCC. May you help Pastor Daniel. May you help the entire ministry to wait to be more converts added to Mississauga Christ Life Community Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is a prayer for the offering times. So as usual, we also, always invite you, if you have an offering, you can put it in the box after the worship, but we'll take the prayer time now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, you bring us your word through Mr. Philip. Father, we thank you, your patience. Teach us how to learn to give out, to help people, to love people, because you give us your unconditional love. Father, help us to share your love to each other. Bless our offering so that every people can be benefit and know your name, and you will be glorified. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing doxology. Let's rise up. We can have announcement, a couple of things. As Pastor Daniel also mentioned, we have baptism service on July 13th. Yeah, let's mark up your dates and the times to join this joyful moment to see how God's great work to us. Next. And you fellowship on, no, that's past it. This is different day. The July 6th, as usual, we have you fellowship on at 7:30 in the MCPC church just across the street. And prayer meeting every Thursday night, 7:30, we have our church EM English Ministry prayer meeting in the same church across the street, MCPC, but in room 103. We welcome everyone to come to pray to the church, pray to every common body what they need. Yeah, we have coffee time after the worship. Today, our church also remember every father in our church, so there's a little gifts for you. If you are the father, you deserve to have it, so don't forget after the worship. Yeah, just pick one over there. Everyone has one if you are father. Okay, the last things today, we want to share with you guys. Thank you, God, bring Pastor Daniel to our church to share God's love. And God also teach us we have to remember each other. We also remember our pastor. So his birthday is on this week, so we take this moment to remember him. share the love with him. And after the worship, we have a birthday cake to serve these things too. Welcome everyone after the church. Go to the hallway. We will group together and share this happy moment. So don't run out. Join us. Okay, so let's pray for this moment. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, your love, so that in our need, in our very, very necessary to help the moment, you send Pastor Daniel to us. You let him to bring your spiritual love to us. You also bring through him to bring the care, the teaching to our church congregation. Father, we also remember his need. Father, we pray for your blessing to his spirit. Protect him away from the evil attacks so that he can serve you freely. Father, we also pray for you bless his family so that he has a very good support when he serves you, that he can be full strength, concentrated to serve you. Father, we also pray for his health, the physical health, so that when he serves you, he has full energy and strength. Father, may you bless his service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.